Good afternoon and welcome to TCC. Today is June 16th, 2022. Let's start with some introductions. If we could start up here, maybe with the people in person.
Good afternoon, Jim Aiello at the Savannah Hilton Head International Airport.
Kayla Brown, Bike Walk Savannah.
Pamela Bernard, Chatham County. Go ahead. Say your name.
Steve Henry, City of Savannah.
And you're here to represent Leon? City of Pooler. Only the City of Pooler, Leon Davenport. Thank you. And we have for
staff. Yeah, I could have one here from Corumpio.
Asia Herndon, Corumpio.
Sally Helm, Corumpio.
And who do we have online, please?
Pete Goldbronson, City of Tybee.
Aviance Webb, FTA Region 4.
Anyone else? Oops. Anyone from GDOT?
This is Katie Proctor.
Teresa, is your mic working? Teresa Concannon, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. I'm sorry. I was muted. I thought I was muted. Teresa Concannon, Effingham County.
Okay, thank you.
Bob Miley with the Town of Thunderbolt.
Great, thank you.
Omar Senati, City of Paul Winford.
Excellent. Thanks for joining us. All right, we'll go ahead and get started. We do have, appears to be a full agenda for today. So if we can try to keep things brief, we'll try to get out of here at a decent time. Let's start with the approval of the agenda. Does anyone have anything they want to add to the agenda or any comments at this time? If not, at this time, I'll request a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Are there any noes? Motion passes. Moving on to the action items. The first item that we have is the approval of the April 14th TCC meeting minutes. Hopefully everyone's had a chance to review those. And hopefully if they had any comments, they've sent those to Corumpio staff at this point. But does anyone have any comments or questions at this time? Okay. I thought you had a comment. Like, all right. If not, then at this time, I will request a motion to approve the meeting minutes from April 14th, 2022.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you. I'll second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Excellent. Moving on to item two, amendments to the FY 2023 UPWP Wycota. Thank you.
I would just give a presentation, but I think the project sponsors probably have to lead the discussion for their special studies. For some of you who don't know, before any planning studies to receive funding, or start to apply for funding, the Federal Highway Administration and the Georgia Department of Transportation procedure requires that the study be discussed by the TCC at least two rounds of meetings. So we started the discussion for some of the studies in April, but at that time we did ask, actually TCC chairman did ask, do you have additional studies to add? At that time, nobody came forward, but later City of Savannah came forward. They want to add the I-16, but they already missed the April. So they are going to start their discussion today. But we already started on several other studies. One is the US 17 Okeechee Road Corridor Study. Another one is President Street Railroad Crossing Feasibility Study. And then the third one is a state route at CSX Railroad Crossing Feasibility Study. So we already have discussion in April. So we're going to finish the second round of discussions. And then after this, TCC, we need to endorse to include these studies into the unfunded section. And that makes you eligible to apply for discretionary PL funds in September, or actually we will submit the application in August. And also when we do the call for projects, and so you can submit the funding applications through the Y230 call for projects as well. So both of those applications will be due in August. But for the city's study, you still have another round of meeting to make that eligible. So we just try not to discourage that. So we want to pave the way for eligibility. So today, I think the project sponsor for all three studies, Chatham County. So Pam, you will probably lead the discussion. And I also want to add that CAT also requested that we add some language in there detailing the CAT master transit plan development and some of their plan development and the 5307. This is just, because the UPWP is the MPO's staff budget, it really doesn't detail the CAT budget, but for some reason, FTA requires that need to include that information into the UPWP as well. So I just want to show you before we start a discussion where those information will be included. So the newly funded studies included here, three of those. And then the updated transit section is outlined under in fiscal 2023 CAT plans to do the following with 5307 funds. And then they have to include the details on their studies as well. But their studies don't have to be discussed twice because this is just for information purposes. And they are not going to apply for like PL discretionary funds or a Y230 fund for those studies. So they don't need to be discussed. But right now I'll just go back and Pam, you want to lead the way for the second round of discussion for the studies?
Okay. Let's start with the US 17 State Route 25 Okeechee Road Corridor Study. That one is, I think, a much needed study to look at the 17 corridor. Just because there's been, you know, almost it seems like every day there's a new development out there, either subdivisions or, apartments or truck parking. There's everything in the world is going on out there. And so, there's a lot of issues more and more with intersections, with people having difficulty making, asking for traffic signals and this kind of stuff. So I think we just want to try to get some information about, let me look at it again, intersection improvements, access control, and permitting. Any kind of advice on that? So just really looking at that corridor. So obviously we'd like to go from the county line all the way to 516, if we would like to partner with Garden City and City of Savannah, if there's some interest. Steve, do you know if there's any interest in the City of Savannah partnering with us on that study?
Possibly.
Okay. So, is there anyone here from Garden City today?
Is anybody online from Garden City?
Okay. I think they're the only other ones in that in the area there. We may still do the whole corridor. I don't know, but we'll at least do the unincorporated section. But we'd like to do the whole section if we can. It'd be, a better study if we do it that way. So that's it. Unless is there any questions on that?
And the cost of a study is about $350,000. So when we do the funding application, it's about $280,000 for the federal portion.
We can throw in some stuff about pedestrians.
I was going to say that section is also part of the East Coast Greenway. So okay. Just making sure that we're accommodating their eventual requests for a multi-use path along that segment. We have seen an uptick in pedestrian and bicyclist collisions. Okay. In that area. So in addition to the intersection controls.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, actually, I think, Kayla, do you know like whether the US 17, the bike lane over there, is it heavily used? Do we have any counts?
So we don't have counts out there. I can add it for our fall counts. Okay. We haven't added it in the past simply because it's not connected. So it breaks up in pieces with that development, but I'm happy to add that to our counts for the fall so we can start to get a baseline. But I do know that the area south near Canebrake is heavily used between the trail and then getting to, you know, Chief of Love back around.
Oh, okay.
On 17, and there are a bunch of through bicyclists who are coming through on the East Coast Greenway route. And that is one of their areas of concern.
Okay, so maybe like conducting like bike counts would be a part of the study, something. I mean, we can add that.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see any problem, and we may have to just up the funding, maybe just a little bit. I don't know, but we can certainly add that to the study as well.
There may be an opportunity to partner with GDOT. They are doing some bike and pedestrian counters in the area. One is going to be installed on Tybee at the Lazaretto Creek Bridge, and another, I don't remember where the second one was going, but there is opportunity to install those in the future. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, then I guess moving to the next one, these two kind of go together, but we'll talk about them separately. First one is President Street Railroad Crossing, right there at the Truman Parkway. Of course, it's a little tricky since Truman Parkway is going over President Street, so how to do a grade separation might be complicated. So a feasibility study is what we're looking for here, just to kind of get some ideas on what might even be possible and how, you know, what the costs would be involved with something like that. But that railroad crossing, you know, President Street does carry a large amount of traffic, and that's that train sometimes, I don't know, like 30 minutes an hour, as it's long. The delays are long. Yeah, a lot longer than 10 minutes. Yeah. So we just want to kind of look and see what our options are there. And that one, I do believe we are supposed to be partnering with City of Savannah on. It's my understanding. So.
And the current estimate is about $300,000 for the study, and the federal portion would be about $240,000. So if City of Savannah partners with the county, you're only splitting $60,000. So.
Yeah. It's worth it.
Yeah, it's worth it.
We got to figure out something there. Okay, and then the last one is also a railroad crossing, but this one's State Route 21. This would be in Garden City, and I think it's the same sort of situation in that State Route 21 is heavily has a lot of traffic on it, especially commuter traffic, and there's delays from the railroad crossing there, so. Looking at, I guess a grade separation is probably the most likely thing, and just trying to get an idea of what that might look like and what it might cost. So, and obviously we'd like to partner with Garden City on that, if they're willing to do so.
So this one's cost is also about $300,000, and the federal portion is about $240,000. So we just need to coordinate with Garden City on this.
Okay. Yep. And I guess we'll probably, the county will probably send a letter to Garden City, but it sounds like this is something that the county is interested in doing, you know, at least we might pay the match even, and we'd like to partner with Garden City in the, you know, so that we're coordinating with them, but whether or not they are able to provide the match, I believe Chatham County is interested in moving forward either way. So.
Okay. Any more questions on these three studies? If nothing, I would just, I see Kat is here. So Ashley, do you want to throw some light on why we want to add in the 5307 funded studies, like a zero emission implementation plan, Chatham Air Transit Master Plan, ERP funded study in the UPWP? I thought it was like FTA directed, right?
Yes. So each of the plans that CAT will be using 5307 funds for are still required to follow the transportation planning process through FTA Circular 8100. So in order for us to utilize these funds, the FTA requires us both to be in compliance with UPWP and the TIP. So they're each included here, as well as the more recent funding award that was just announced a couple of weeks ago, the art restoration part.
Okay. So we will make sure that we follow the procedures to include these funds into the UPWP and the TIP. So when CAT applies for the funds, they get it. So basically, these are the proposed amendments to the fiscal year 2023 UPWP, and the staff would like to ask the TCC for endorsement of these proposed amendments.
All right, is there any other discussion at this time? Any other questions about this? Okay, if not, then at this time, I'll request a motion to endorse and approve the proposed 2023 UPWP amendments.
Motion.
Yeah. Okay. That's okay, Steve. All right. And second?
Second.
Second.
Kayla, thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Motion passes. Moving to the third action item, which is the FY 2021 to 2024 TIP amendments.
Okay, I'm also going to present this information, this item, because we're at the end of fiscal year 2022, and some of the projects that have funds programmed in fiscal year 2022 just cannot make it. So we are going to move those projects into fiscal 2023 because, I mean, we understand the circumstances of why they're not making it. So we coordinated with the project sponsors and we're making the changes. So we did actually a very comprehensive check to see which projects are programmed, which phase is programmed in which year, and what is the current status. So most of those programmed in fiscal 2022 funds that are being implemented, including those projects, hold on, let me just move this a little bit. So appendix C, project development status check, you can see the most of the projects, we don't need to take any actions because they are moving forward, including those projects that got amended. The white research they released from Old River Road. So you added in to the Gerard Avenue and Chavez Road Street. So the PE funds, those were authorized. And also the additional funds we added for Project Drain for the additional EJ analysis, those funds have been authorized as well. So most of those would be okay, but several projects that we will have problems to authorize. So I'm just going to outline them over here. So one of them is Project Drain. Project Drain, because we are adding the PE phase in fiscal year 2022 to do additional EJ analysis And the schedule that GDOT gave me is about 18 months. So that pushes the right of way into 2024. Currently, the right of way is in 2022. So we're going to move the right of way to 2024. City of Savannah has already sent a request letter to the GDOT to request to move the project and move the phase with the funds to fiscal 2024. I already got that, but I'm still waiting for GDOT to send me the concurrence letter. So the funding amount doesn't change. So basically, we're just moving the project by 2 years. And another one is the City of Savannah's Traffic Control Center. Currently, the PE utility and construction phases are programmed in fiscal 2022. And we are going to move the funds with the project to fiscal 2023. And this project got delayed purely because the GDOT have some administrative procedures that we just couldn't figure out. Because I mean, Steve and I and Leon, and we have been coming back and forth with GDOT on this with their project like program delivery office or something. So basically it got stuck with the administrative procedures. But City of Savannah has already issued the RFP, right? So. Yeah. So a city is ready to award, but the funding authorization side got stuck just because of some administrative procedures. So we will try to move this funds to fiscal 2023 to give them additional probably 2 months, 3 months to figure it out, and we will have the funds authorized so city can start to gather reimbursement. For this project, I'm still waiting for city to send the request letter to GDOT to move the project with the funds, and then I'm waiting for GDOT to send the concurrences for these amendments to be final. I think Leon said the letter will go out tomorrow, right?
Yes, the letter will go out tomorrow, more than likely, if we can get signature.
Okay, another one that we have problem with is the State Route 26 or US 80 bridges to Tybee, and this is the Blue River. Remember, we programmed about, I think, more than $90,000 for HIP funds for the right-of-way purchase, and the information I got from GDOT project manager, this information is actually directly from GDOT project manager, indicating that this project is not going to make it. So we have to strip this project from with the HIP funds. That's why we reallocate some of those HIP funds to project during the additional EJ analysis, and those funds have been authorized. So there's no way for this project to get those funds back. And so, but they can apply for the Y230 funds in the next call for projects. So the project got delayed. The right-of-way phase will be moved from 2022 to 2024. And the cost has been increased from the right-of-way phase cost has been increased from about $90,000 to $1.4 million. And currently it says local. So who think that Taipei will come up with $1.4 million to pay for the right-of-way? So I think Peter is already, Peter is participating, right?
Yes.
So Peter probably will submit the application on behalf of Tybee for the Y230 funds.
Mm-hmm. Well, where is the other bridge? Because they broke this into three projects?
I didn't hear that.
I think he's probably talking about Lazaretto. Is that correct?
Lazaretto, yes.
Yeah, Lazaretto crack, I did ask the GDOT project manager. I said, okay, I thought the US 80, the two bridges replacement would share one combined environmental document. And then the answer to me was no. So they would have their own separate environmental document. And the other one, I think the answer I got for the other one during my check is they are okay for now. Currently, let's see. Okay, the other one, PE, right of way, utility and construction are programmed for fiscal year 2023.
Right.
That's a direct, I mean, exact the same word, good for now for GDOT project manager. So they are currently in fiscal year 2023. So this project also has the HEAP funds program. So if like by June 30th next year, you're not going to spend that money, we probably have to reallocate those funds as well. But as of now, GDOT project manager says they are good for fiscal year 2023.
Correct. That is done for 23, that section. And then the causeway between the two bridges is still on for 23.
This, Wakota, this is Christy with DOT. I was just going to say the one we were just, the Bull River, the Lazaretto. We're actually going to be moving those years out. So the right of way, they're not all going to be in 23, the right of way utility and construction. So they will be moving out. They'll be more in line with the Bull River ones. So to answer that question, I know you had just right now said that they were good for now, but we do expect those will be moving out.
Okay. Yeah, Peter, I think the reason we're doing the amendment now for the Bull River one is because those funds are programmed in fiscal 2022. Fiscal 2022 ends on June 30th of 2022. So if we don't move the project out, then we would be too late. But for the other one, we still have 1 year to process any amendments when we have more realistic schedule and the cost estimates.
Right, but we moved the Lazaretto was supposed to start in 23 with the causeway. Is that changed?
Yeah, Christy, can you answer the question?
Yes. When you say start in 23, are you referring to construction would be starting in 23?
No, we had right away in 23 and utilities, and a lot of the upfront stuff was supposed to start in 23, correct?
Okay. It should be 24, and give me just 1 second and let me pull the PSR on that one, but I'm pretty sure it's going to right away is going to be 24 if I remember correctly. Construction will be 24. Yeah, they're pretty much going to be in line with each other because it's an EA environmental document, both of them. And so they both have to go through the same step. So they're going to be pretty close to each other because of that fact. Now, the causeway, we do not have a timeline yet. So that one right away will not be in 23.
Okay. Okay, but here it says that we didn't say the right of way was getting shifted to 24.
For the Lazaretto?
Yeah, but if it's being constructed in 24, we have to get right of way in 23.
And I'm pulling that and I can tell you what we are proposing. But I know Wakota, yeah, we as far as TIP amendments, that's why for now, for 22, we weren't really worried about that. But let me.
Let's just do this. For the Lazaretto Creek, Tybee, please get together with GDOT and ask for a cost estimate. If you are on the hook for the right-of-way phase, you might be prepared to submit another application for the Y230 call for project. Because, I mean, if it's like a big jump, like $1 million, you're not going to be able to have that money.
Right. So, Rob did send me the latest estimate for...
I haven't received the latest cost estimate for the Lazaretto.
No, I have not either. I just have the one for the Bull River.
Okay. So the Bull River one is $1.4 million.
Yes.
So you might want to get together with GDOT after the meeting to figure out the other one as well. So instead of submitting one application, you want to submit two, actually, for two projects.
Actually, I want to submit three, probably.
Oh, three. Okay.
Well,
it's broken into three projects.
And I looked, and we're proposing with our PCRF, and I thought someone with Tybee had concurred with it for right-of-way authorization to be December of 23. So, I mean, that would be FY24 for right-of-way. So that's on Lazaretto. So, but definitely circle back, and you can contact me, Christy Levitt, if you need to. And Wakota would have my contact information. I'll be glad to walk through all of them with you. That'll be fine.
All right. I'd appreciate that.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. For this meeting, we are processing the Bull River One Bridge. So we are moving the right-of-way phase from fiscal 2022 to fiscal 2024. Since the construction phase is being moved to 2025, that is out of the TIP. So basically, we're deleting the utility phase and the construction phase from the TIP for this project. And the other highway projects that we have is the I-95 at Airways Avenue at the Puller Interchange, because we actually amended this scoping phase into the TIP at the request of the Savannah Airport Commission. As of now, they haven't made any progress on that. And plus, the airport, in partner with Chatham County, would like to pursue Y230 funds. So we're going to, because right now it's local, it shows as local. So the locally funded project doesn't have to appear in the TIP, but we added that in as one of the amendment, but with the expectation that it will receive federal dollars in the future. So now for this purpose, and we were just moving the scoping phase from 2022 to 2023, still with local funds, but in August, when Chatham County submitted the application, if you get this project got awarded the Y230 funds, and we will amend the TIP to put the correct fiscal year in the funding source. So there are only like four projects for highway, actually five, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, another one is the State Route 404 US 17 bridge that is in downtown and go to South Carolina. And this one, the right-of-way phase is not going to make in fiscal 2022, so we're just moving it to fiscal 2023, because it already shows in 2023 in the GDOT system. So we're basically just doing like housekeeping at this moment to make sure that these projects are still update in implementation schedule and cost estimate. And then the transit improvements, I think I probably will ask Ashley if need more information. So basically the same thing. So a lot of the funds that cannot be obligated. So CAT can submit an application to FTA, but FTA didn't have the time to obligate all of those funds. So those funds will be moved to fiscal 2023. And we also, so not only moving on obligated funds to fiscal 2023 for 5307, 5307H, and 5339. And then also CAT wants to add some funds, 5337 and 5339 funds in fiscal 2024. So I can show you the CAT project here. So they added one, hold on. They added one, okay, the added one is. What's the 53? Yeah, okay, here's the added one. So basically for 5337, we're adding about $450,000 into fiscal 2024. For ferry boat rehabilitation, and for section 5339, we're adding about $1 million to fiscal 2024 for vehicle purchase. So if you have any questions, and Ashley will be able to help you to answer those.
Thank you, Waco. Does anyone have any questions? Did you want to say anything, Ashley?
We can answer any questions that someone may have. The FTA currently has several of our grant applications under review, so they're just in process. And then for the fiscal year 24 funds, those are part of our allocated funding along with the 5307 that CAT receives on a regular annual basis, and we'll be programming those for fiscal year 24.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions?
This is Christy again with DOT. And I'm just asking, I guess this would be on the Durian project, the 8358, and I guess Barry, it looks like Barry's on. And I just was curious, because is Barry on?
I don't.
Yes.
But this, okay. I noticed that you were asking to move it to FY24, but we were planning on FY25, I thought. So I was just making sure that was correct, that she was showing the 24 and it wasn't supposed to be 25.
The reason I added to 2024 is because we added in about $1 million in fiscal 2022 for the additional EJ analysis. And I was told it takes about 18 months to have that done. So basically you have about 2 years for the next phase. So 22 to 24, that's about 2 years. So that's why I moved to 2024.
Okay. That doesn't match with our schedule, which I guess we have time. I guess in 24, if it needs to be shifted, I guess that can be addressed next year.
Yeah, I think when the EJ analysis is done, I mean, we will know more.
Chris Leon, the PM went ahead and strung out the, I know that in your P6 schedule, you're probably seeing that 25 date, but the schedule that we received from the consultant for that project put that 18-month bump on it. And the only reason the schedule was pushed out further, and we sort of talked about it and I disagreed, was that they're looking at the possibility of having to update traffic or the justification for the interchange. So, but right now the only schedule revision we really have is the 18 months for the updated EJ outreach.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure to bring that out. All right, thanks.
Yeah, I think for this meeting, let's just focus on those projects and phases that are currently programmed in fiscal 2022. So if there are any schedule changes, cost estimate changes in fiscal 2023 and 2024, we still have enough time to do either TIP amendments, or we're going to adopt the new TIP probably in next year, that fiscal 2024 to 2027 TIP. So we can just incorporate the updated information at that time. So for this now, we are just doing the housekeeping.
Okay. Are there any other questions, comments? If not, at this time, I'll request a motion to endorse and approve the proposed TIP updates for 2022, or for the 2021 to 2024 TIP.
So moved.
Thank you. Who is that, please?
Melanie.
Oh,
Melanie Wilson.
Thank you, Melanie.
Okay. It's been a long day.
And a second.
Pete Colbronson from Tidy. I second it.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Wicota. Let's move on to other business. The next item is the study discussion of the I-16 flyover interchange modification report update.
Yeah, this is our first discussion for the I-16 IMR update. And then in August, we're going to have another discussion. And then after that, we will amend this study into the UPWP. So if City of Savannah would like to apply for discretionary PL funds or Y230 funds, or another one is like community grant, so they will be eligible. So I will just ask the City of Savannah to give the presentation on this one.
Good afternoon, Joe Sherhouse with the City of Savannah. Briefly, I'll give a short history of the I-16 ramp removal project. Many of us may be familiar, but others may not. GDOT was very cooperative with the city in 2008 in developing a concept and feasibility study. That study then went into a 2016 IMR, Interchange Modification Report, which is also an extensive study looking at the removal of the flyover. However, the project ran into lack of funding opportunities. The step we're looking to make today is to add this to the UPWP to make the project eligible for some potential opportunities that may be coming up soon. A few of those I'd like to highlight. There's many, obviously, in some of the federal infrastructure funding. One in particular that matches well with this particular project is the Reconnecting Community Grants. Those federal opportunities also seem to match well with some development we have happening here locally, that of the Canal District and the Arena District, also with discussions regarding the Civic Center site redevelopment. All of those seem to focus on an opportunity within this region and this particular project that may provide large benefits for this part of the city. So with that, I'd like to open it up to any questions regarding the study and appreciate your consideration.
Are there any questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Oops. The next item on the agenda is the 2050 MTP update. Asia, you, thank you.
Oh,
okay. Sorry, we didn't mean to rush you, Waikata. Take your time.
Oh, did you give a presentation?
Okay, so there was any discussion or questions?
No questions.
Okay. So I think we... So I will put that into the UPWP as for August for discussion. The next one, the 2050 MTP update, as you know, that we are kicking off the 2050 MTP update, and it needs to be adopted in August of 2024. Actually, several things were already ongoing. I would just ask the staff who are responsible for these to come up and present the information. So, for one thing, we're updating goals, objectives, and performance measures. We did the present the preliminary goals, objectives, and performance measures back last year. And the next step is to do a survey. And then we want to use the survey to refine our goals, objectives, and performance measures, and then also prioritization methodology, and also like funding allocation recommendations. So we did have the draft survey developed. So we want the TCC to take a look at this and then give us some input. We can either provide input at this meeting, or I can send the survey to everybody after the meeting so that you can just take a deeper look at it. So basically we have these overall transportation priorities. So you can choose roadways, electric vehicles, bicycles, pedestrians, greenways, transit, on-demand service or mobility. And for roadways, we want to know what is the priority for. I have some over here because we got some input from ADFAC committee this morning. So for the new construction road expansion, probably we will just add some wording over there, either combine or still separate them out. And then also operational improvements and interchange and bridge reconstruction, road maintenance, a complete street, and electric vehicles. And for freight priorities, so we want people to probably to give us a rank of selection of like roadway improvements, rail grade crossing improvements, bridge replacement, better truck routing and signage, truck parking, operational improvements, and grant application. For bicycle priorities, I think Kayla probably, and this is a little bit different from what we talked about on Monday because we organized this a little bit differently. So the bicycle priorities, we have bike lanes, cycle tracks, greenways, road diet, complete streets, bike share. And so, and then for pedestrian facilities, we have sidewalks, adding new sidewalks or repair or making connections to the existing sidewalks. Also add curb ramps for ADA accessibility and crosswalk signal improvements, greenways and pedestrian overpasses. So I will send all this to you after this. So I'm just going to outline whatever we have over here. For transit priorities, we have maybe added routes, extend service time or service hours, improve service frequency for maybe the like number 14, something that introduce micro transit or expand the service area, especially in the West. We have so many warehousing, but the jobs are not jobs are located over there, but the people who the employees are not over there. So we want to add like job access reverse commute maybe, and connect the counties. Bryan, Effingham, and Chatham. How we increase the transit service, maybe connect counties, and improve shelters and improve technology. And equity is a federal emphasis area. So we did draft several questions over here regarding transit as well. So we will just send you these later. So most of those will be related to transit and bike path. And the resiliency is also a federal emphasis area. So we want to make sure that we make like drainage improvements to contain the stormwater and prevent natural disasters to make damage to our roadway system, something like that. And also multi-jurisdictional coordination and in technology investments, for example. And then it's some kind of app that can help people. So anyway, this would be like what information people will be looking at, maybe transit route or on-demand transportation contact or pedestrian facility map, if they can just load on their map. And then for the general goals and objectives, so those will, because the previous ones are more focused on by mode, and then the general goals and objectives will be focused on like probably safety, congestion, reduction, efficiency, reliability. So we just want to collect some input from people, and we also we want to collect some information on like home address or work address, so that we know where people are commuting, so that we can match whatever their answer with their travel mode. So these would be some of the questions that so far is like a working preliminary draft. But I'm going to send this out to the TCC members, to the ADVAC members, is to all of the advisory committee members for comment, and then we will finalize this. Probably have the survey probably start in August, because after we finalize this, we have to translate into three different languages. So, but anyway, just want to let you know that this is coming your way. And this is one part of the MTP we are doing. Another part we are doing, another part we are doing is socioeconomic data development. And I will ask Katie. Oh, okay. Kate is working on the socioeconomic data development. So far, we got the TAZ file, the shape file from GDOT, so we know, because it's a three-county area, Bryan, Chatham, Effingham. So we know what the TAZ files looks like, what shape would be. And then Kate will do the disaggregate and aggregation, because she will reuse the census information and then allocate all that, like population, income, all that into the different zones. She might be contacting some of you, because GDOT sent us the guidance on how to develop the SE data. That includes the like school enrollment, because that will be related to the trip generation. So she might be contacting you regarding that school enrollment and then also the land use. So I know she's contacting the Effingham County. Teresa has already helped her with some of that information. And Bryan County, I don't think we got any information from Bryan County yet. Just want to let you know that if you receive that request, please try to help her. And then the other task that we are undertaking is the travel demand model development, because the travel demand model development says we will have a base year model, and we will have a second network, third network, and then first network. That's where we identify the future needs. So, but in order to do that, and we have to validate the base model. So we are working on the base model with GDOT. The Asia is actually checking, because in the model, there are send choice and then there are links. So one highway maybe have like hundreds of links. For example, I-95 and I-16, I think they're giving her a lot of headache. because you know what is the number of links? For the whole region. Yeah, 5,000. And you have checked how many so far? Yeah, 1,300. So basically, GDOT modeler, they were using some kind of information to input the functional classification and the number of lanes. So they actually want us to confirm the functional classification and number of lanes.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just I did have a couple comments about the project list that you have.
I'm going to touch on that as well. Okay, the second part for the travel demand model development is GDOT wants us to develop the first network, second network, and third network. So basically, we're after they develop the model as 2015. And they are going to add in the projects that were constructed or started construction during 2015 to 2020. And then the second network would be the first network plus the projects that started in 2021 to 2022. And then third would be existing plus committed. The committed would be some of those projects that we included in the TIP. So that would be the construction funds are committed. And then the fourth network would be right-of-way funds are committed, and then the next one would be with the preliminary phase program in the TIP. So those will come later, but right now we just want your input on the first network and second network, because this is a preliminary draft. We haven't sent any of this information to GDOT. I just want to see. I mean, a lot of you are probably look at this and you know something is already missing. So the first network, we try to add the construction year were programmed in the TIP, and some of those are probably already completed. I think still 21 culvert replacement is already completed, right?
Well, I'm not sure the PI number, because that was if it's the county project.
Yeah,
we actually shelved that one. Never built.
Oh, so it was never built. So
correct.
So they shouldn't be on here.
Correct.
Okay.
It might be done someday, but the cost benefit ratio wasn't there. So
Aisha, can you take a note on this?
And I can send you some comments too.
Okay.
That and the Skidaway project, that's not a federal project anymore, and Skidaway Road. And I don't know what kind of project you've got going on.
No, this is not Skidaway Road. It's the De Lesseps Avenue from Waters Avenue to Skidaway Road.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, that's the city project.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. So the network, the model network would be the collectors and above. So if you are building, I know Quaco Road is functionally classified. So it's on the network. So if I'm missing over there for the Quaco Road, might be included in the third network or the second network, just depending on which year it will start.
Okay.
But I know Gwinnett Street is already under construction. So even if it's a locally built project, but still it is functionally classified. So we added in the Gwinnett Street, the project in, I think we added in, yeah, okay. Yeah, Gwinnett Street is under construction. So one project I noticed that is missing is the State Route 144 widening project in Richmond Hill. So that one, I'm pretty sure that one is under construction or completed. It's completed. So that one, yeah, as soon as we put this together, I noticed that one is missing. Yeah, if you see anything missing, just let us know, and then I will make the corrections. We'll delete that one.
The I-16 at State Route 301, is there any chance that's supposed to be 307? Or is that, if that's I-16 at 301, then I don't think it's in Chatham County. Just, we could check on it.
Okay, yeah, which should be 307.
Yeah, and that's under construction, the DDI.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I will double check the PI number. If it is that one, it should be under construction. So I'll just make the changes. So I mean, we can revise this project list later. So if TCC, if you see any of this information that is wrong, and please let us know, and we will come back to you probably in August and give you an updated list. And so if we are okay with the list, and then we will submit the list to GDOT. So some of the, I mean, the most of those, if they're included in the TIP, it's easier for us to check. But if it's local streets, yeah, Chatham County builds something, city of Savannah builds something, we might not be able to keep track of that. So just take a look at that. So we will get back to you on this in August, but this report is attached to the agenda. So if you see anything wrong on this, just to let us know so that we can make the corrections. And then the other thing that we're doing is that we're going to develop the next public engagement plan, like the brochures and then venues. So that will be next step. And then also we will do the study review and update. I'm thinking about probably having a matrix developed, maybe like the recommendations or some of the projects that already implemented from 2045 plan will be moved out of the plan. And so the 2050 plan, what projects to consider. So we'll just have a matrix like it's in the 2045. And then if it's the recommendation from the fleet plan, it's going to be developed. And what are the recommendations from Stewart 21, the matrix and 307. So we will just outline all of those. And the other studies, US 80 corridor study, if they have recommendations. So we just want to list all of those. And then the CAT master transit plan and the transit development plan that will fit into the transit section of the 2050. And then non-motorized transportation plan, and thoroughfare plan update that will fit into, or we probably have in the financial plan for the 2050, we will probably have like set asides. But we still need to update those plans, and then we will have a prioritized list so we know which project to fund when we have those. So basically, this is what we have been doing. We haven't been officially kicked off yet, but I think probably we will start to officially kick off this plan update in July. So this is just a status update, but I will follow up with you on the networks later.
Okay, thank you, Wakota, for that presentation. Does anyone have any questions about the MTP update? Okay, if not, we'll move on to item six, which is the Safe Streets and Roads for All, which is the SS4A federal grant opportunity. Asia, thank you.
Yes. The SS4A grant is a grant from the U.S. Department of Transportation. It's a competitive grant that is awarded to projects that support infrastructure, behavioral, and operational initiatives that prevent death and serious injuries on roads and streets. And so the goal of this grant is to get local and tribal and county governments to invest in projects that reduce roadway deaths to zero. So there are two forms of funding in this plan or in this grant. There's the implementation grant. And if you do a joint application, so a joint application would be maybe City of Savannah, Garden City, and Pooler, and CORMPO all like submit an application together. The proposed or estimated funding range for your plan is $3 million to $50 million. And the implementation grant is for if you already have a Vision Zero plan. So I don't know if any jurisdiction in the area has one. So we would be likely to, City of Savannah has one?
Developing one?
Okay. I could probably get in contact with Department of Transportation and ask which one we should apply for. But if we don't have one completed, we might have to apply for the Action Plan Grant. And so that has a proposed funding range of $200,000 to $5 million. And so the point of this grant is to create a Vision Zero plan. So one of the application requirements is to get a unique entity identifier. It takes about a month to get. So if you're interested in any of these funds, I would say start now. And submitting a joint application is highly encouraged. It was highly encouraged by the Department of Transportation. Now, if it doesn't make sense for your community to do a joint application, you could still do an individual fund or an individual application. They said they weren't going to preference joint over individual, but they still highly encourage joint applications. And the deadline for the application is actually September 15th. I made a mistake and wrote August 15th. It's actually September. So August 15th is the last day to submit technical questions to the Department of Transportation. September 15th is the last day to submit your application in general. So I just wanted to know if anyone in the area is interested in applying for any of these grants jointly or individually. I think it's a really great opportunity to make roads safer, especially regarding some of the pedestrian death increases that have been happening specifically within the area. And just if you are interested in a joint application, please contact me. I actually attended a Department of Transportation meeting yesterday where they gave even more information. So this is just the abbreviated version, but I have more fun stuff to talk about. So please contact me.
Hey, Asia, I have one question. Talking about the joint application, mm-hmm. You know, if we're looking at the action plan grants, because I, you know, City of Savannah is in process of developing one, but none of the other municipalities have one.
Yeah.
Do those communities have to have a Vision Zero resolution in place before, in addition to, so like if we're talking about the process of everything, you know, obviously for the action plan, it's to develop the plan. But do they have to have a resolution before they can apply for that funding?
So the only thing you need before applying for that funding is your unique entity identifier and then a statement of interest. That's all you need before applying. Okay. So you don't necessarily need a resolution.
Okay.
Yeah, I missed the one yesterday, so I'm glad you went to that. That's the one for the action.
The action plan grant, yes.
But I did watch another one of the webinars about the overview, and they said that each jurisdiction can only apply for one grant. So either an action plan or an implementation, but not both. But you can partner on as many as you want. So, you know, if you guys have an action plan that maybe, you know, is viable that we could work with, then, you know, maybe you guys can submit that a request for the action plan, and then we could do an implementation plan, and maybe we can partner, you know, and because that's what they're encouraging, right, is the partnership, so, and joint application, so maybe we can make it work, you know, for everybody, try to get as much of this money as we can.
Yeah.
Asia, I think Karen from our budget office has been in contact with you.
Right? Yes.
If you
yes.
could share the information from this last meeting with her and
yes.
me as well, that'd be great. Okay. Hello, Karen. Thank you.
Yeah, the thing is you can't apply for an implementation plan, which would be for a specific project, until you have the action plan and the requirements for the action plan
at
are
this
very
point,
specific.
Yeah, at this point I don't think we're eligible for the implementation plan because we don't have an action plan. Yeah, so I mean, just to develop this action plan Should the city takes the lead and maybe partner with CAD with different municipalities so that we can have like a region-wide action plan? So that will just give us more chance of getting the grant.
Well, you're right. Yeah, I guess we can't apply for an implementation.
We cannot apply for the implementation plan right now.
When would be the next call for projects on that? Or when would the funds, when could we apply for an implementation? Do you know?
Isn't it annually for?
Yeah, is it annually? I don't know.
Did anybody get that?
I believe they're hoping that it will be annual for the next 5 years and potentially increasing the funding available. But since this is the first one, it's kind of, who knows? But I do think it would be a great asset for the county to, you know, possibly county and city of Savannah partner as the co-leads and then develop a Vision Zero action plan countywide. To kind of tie into the non-motorized plan updates as well as the MTP.
Yeah, sounds good. We'll talk.
All right, any other questions? No? Okay. Well, that's the end of that, but I'm the next item.
Okay, yeah, thank you. So the next item is the non-motorized transportation plan and thoroughfare plan update.
Okay. So in addition to the Metropolitan Transportation Plan update that's occurring, we're also updating our non-motorized transportation plan and thoroughfare plan. So these documents address important topics for pedestrians, bicyclists, people with accessibility needs, and infrastructure needs in the area. And the goal of this plan is to compile a list of pedestrian, bike, and trail projects that can be incorporated into the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. And then hopefully those can eventually be prioritized and programmed for funding. So I just want to give a general overview of some of the updates we want to add to this plan. So we want to very explicitly define what the plan is and why the updates are important, create an overall vision of non-motorized transportation in the area, one that is less car dependent and more open to walking and cycling. We really wanted to increase public input and describe how public input is used in the plan. And how it affects the area and why public input is really important. We also wanted to increase discussion of topics of safety, equity, and resilience. And this is especially important since pedestrian deaths and injuries have been increasing, and some areas are more disproportionately impacted than others. We also wanted to identify some of the problem areas and just address those in the plan. And maybe if we identify those problem areas, we could develop a better prioritization list. So if an area is a problem, so it should definitely be prioritized within the plan. And then we also want to update the status of current projects, such as Tie to Town. We had our first steering committee meeting this Monday on the 13th. Kayla was there. So yay, kickoff meeting. Oh, no, it's fine. Would you like to be on the next steering committee meeting?
No, but I'm thinking about volunteering someone else. So maybe someone from Chatham County.
Oh, yeah. We definitely want the presence of everyone. It definitely leaned heavily Savannah. And so we want to get more people from the whole core MPO area. Yeah, so we actually, that is the point of this agenda item, sorry, is to get volunteers and input for this plan. So any expertise, any advice, yes, Ashley.
Can you have that forwarded over to Chatham Area Transit? We'll gladly volunteer for the study.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yes. So we currently don't have another steering committee meeting scheduled right now, but as soon as we do have another one scheduled, we will send it to anyone that's interested in helping with updating this plan, and hopefully we can get a really good update. Maybe it's be completely different, super cool, I don't know. So
yeah,
We talked about it. We actually want to have like accessibility to the bus shelters to be part of this focus as well. So we definitely need CAT input.
Absolutely.
Any questions or comments?
I do have a question about the that steering committee. Is that you? Is that supposed to be mostly just government agencies, or it can be anybody? Or
so right now is composed of. I don't know if anyone is from a government agency besides CORE and PO. So Kayla, you're from.
Yeah. So right now the steering committee is comprised of myself, Justin Bristol, who's with Georgia Bikes. Although they are looking to hire a planning manager for Georgia Bikes, so his position may change. And then Mary Charles Howard, who is with the Georgia Hilo Trail, because that will be connecting to Chatham County. But that was just to figure out if we're on the right track and kind of see what the future will hold for it. So obviously, I think we should add some more government agencies onto that, you know, including Chatham Area Transit to make sure we're talking about current projects as well as internal projects versus what's been public.
Yeah, and another thing we discussed at the earlier meeting is that a lot of the organizations in the area are going through plan updates. I know CAT is doing their master transit plan, and so there might be some ways that we can coordinate to avoid redundancies in what we're doing and hopefully get some good information together.
Yes, so over at CAT with both the master transit plan, this may come up a little bit more with the TDP for the operational analysis, and that would be getting down to the bus stop level.
Okay.
And I'm just going to ask.
Asia, maybe afterwards I'll have some contacts to add.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. That's
what my next question was going to be, if the city of Savannah had somebody. Okay, thank you.
And that's the end of the presentation.
Okay, thank you. Then we can move on to status reports. And the first item is number 8 is the freight transportation plan update. Mycota.
Okay, we kicked off the freight plan update in late April. And actually, we just had the first ADFAC committee meeting this morning. And then I actually attached that presentation file over here, so you can see what is going on right now. Currently, our consultant, selected consultant, Cambridge Systematics, they're actually reviewing the existing plans, the previous freight plan, and then also some of like finished studies, 307 corridor studies, DR21 access management study, and the GDOT freight plan, GDOT rail plan, and Coastal Empire study coordination. So a lot of studies are doing the study review and also collecting data, land use, trend search, origin destination, information index, and also developing the draft visions, goals, and objectives. So you can see some of those information included in this. So take a look at this presentation. If you have any questions, we will forward that. But I did ask the consultant this morning. I said, okay, what kind of information are you looking from the TCC members and the CEC members, all those? And he said, just okay, if you have any questions or comments on the goals, objectives, and visions at this point, just forward that to us. So we will address that. But in October, we will have probably something more solid. So like initial findings, the volumes, the commodities. So we will give you a presentation at that time. So for now, just if you can provide input on the visions, goals, objectives, that would be appreciated. So this is a status report. So that's just kicking off. And another one, the urban flooding model, that one, because we were supposed to execute the contract in April, but Chatham County actually had some question about the duplicate efforts between this one and what Chatham County was doing for the stormwater, right? So I think Liz Smith, the Chatham County manager, was supposed to meet with our executive director to talk about like how we can better coordinate the study scope. So I'm here,
Wakoda. One of the things that I think they realize is that, you know, there are two different types of projects. So we should be good to move forward. I mean, they will get the updates because, of course, engineering is part of our team, but you know, they're not the same effort. And I think that he probably had forgotten about it or whatever, but I think that it is straightened out right now and we'll be able to move forward. I was able to execute the contract, i.e. with the chairman of the MPC signature on Tuesday. So that is done and we will be able to move forward now.
Yeah, our next step would be a notice to proceed to the UGA for this. So this study will kick off pretty soon as well. And then the next one, this is just status update for the pre-application workshop. For those of you who have attended, you pretty much know what is the eligibility requirements for the Y230 funds and the Y30M funds. And we will keep on working with GDOT to finalize those revenue projections. And then we will keep on revising our application packages and also making sure everybody's eligible. So including the I-16 that we are addressing today. So if you have any chance or just, I mean, if you want to look at this pre-application workshop presentation file, just take a look at this. This outlines the eligibility and the schedule. So if you have any questions, let us know. And then also in the meantime, if you need to pursue the lab certification, please start the process now. So because these projects will require the local governments to be lab certified, and the lab certification takes several months to 1 year. So if you need to do that, please start early. So this is just, I think it was a pretty well-received workshop. The only thing is, I think I made so many mistakes. 301 funds becomes 310. So, yeah. But other than that, I think it was informative. Yeah.
Yes, actually it was. It was very informative. Thank you, Wakoda. And so I would highly recommend anyone that didn't get a chance to attend to review that presentation and make sure that if you have any questions, get those answered now so that there's so we can get the funds applied for.
Yeah. The lab certification, I found out, Steve, City of Savannah is not lab certified, I found out.
Recertification lasts a while, so.
Are you guys on the mic?
I don't like being on the mic. No, I know that they've submitted the recertification. I guess y'all can get with.
This is Barry. Yeah, we've submitted the last piece and we're just waiting on response from GDOT.
Yeah, so still have some months to work that out.
Well, they've told us that we're far enough in the process where it wouldn't affect, I guess, the funding that's on hand.
Okay. So, I mean, if you are going to apply for additional funds to make sure, for studies, you don't need lab certification, but for projects, you
right.
do. So, yeah, make sure they get your lab certification.
Yeah, we should have it, I guess, within the next few weeks. We've pretty much done everything that they've asked. We're just waiting on a review.
Okay, great.
All right. Thank you.
And then another thing, I think I will ask Sally, because Sally put this together, administrative modifications to the fiscal year 2022 PL budget adjustments.
All right, let me pull this up real quick.
Okay, so in going through our reimbursements for our third quarter and looking at, you know, sending those in for under our administration, as far as the billing, we were at like 97%, you know, just with a lot of things going on with Mark's retirement, our director, and needing some changes done there, just a shift. So what we did was we put in a letter to GDOT asking for concurrence to just shift some funds, not asking for more. We just shifted funds around. And looking on this table here, what we did, FHWA is asking us to charge a lot of our time under the administration part. And that's the section that was, you know, at 97%. So we just shifted some funds from our public involvement due to that third quarter with a lot of our virtual meetings. So it took, a lot less funding out of what we had originally slotted for public involvement. So we just shifted some funds from that section, from the data collection section that we had an analysis due to the fiscal year is ending in a couple of weeks. So we're not going to be billing a lot to that section. And then our system planning and operations, the same thing. So bottom dollar, when you look at the totals down here, exact same thing. We just shifted funding. Then we look down at the bottom. Here's our concurrence from GDOT. So we're good there. So, and that was done at an administrative level. So we didn't have to get any action or approval on that. And then again, here, just attached, again, is what it was with our UPWP in 2022. So again, we're just showing here the funding in each one of the budgeted tables here. And it's showing you what our original was when it was submitted and adopted, and then our final revised right here. So again, the total dollar amount that we've been budgeted is not changed. We just shifted. So if you have any questions, just let us know.
Just want to add that GDOT needs this information to close out the fiscal year 2022 contract.
Good job.
Okay, thank you, Sally and Wakota. Is there any questions about that? Okay. All right. And then the last item on their status reports is the City of Pooler's US 80 State Route 26 study.
Yes, Leon Davenport representing the City of Pooler. As you can see, we had four proposers on this project, Luminate, Croy Engineering, Kimley Horn, and Keck Wood. After all the scoring was done, the highest ranked firm was Kimley Horn. Right now, there's a PFA that has been routed through all of the individuals necessary at City of Pooler. The City of Pooler will approve the PFA and award the study to Kimley Horn on Tuesday night. So we'll notice to proceed probably very shortly after that.
Thank you, Leon. All right. And next we've got the information reports. I'm just wondering, in the interest of time, does anyone have a problem? All of these are attached, right, for information.
Yeah.
If everybody's okay with it, we'll just ask if there's questions about any of these. And I can kind of go through. Does anyone have any questions about the Chatham County projects? All right, how about Chatham Area Transit? Are there any questions about those projects? Okay. City of Savannah. I know, I'm sorry, we're going through these quick, but hopefully everybody's had a chance to review these. So, if you've got any questions, let us know. We'll move on to the TIP project tracking. And I guess the only question really there is, did you guys get all the, Sally, did you guys get the information you needed for that?
Yeah. Yes, thank you, I did.
Okay. And were there any issues identified from that, as far as you know?
No, everything's been worked out. Thank you.
Wonderful. Okay. And then last is GDOT, their status projects. Does anyone have any questions about any GDOT projects? Okay, wonderful. Then we'll go to public comments. Is there anyone here that or online that wants to make a public comment? If there is, please raise your hand or raise your hand in the chat box if they have that capability.
Pam, I do want to make a comment because I attended one of the webinars from ARC, You know, the new funding, new federal transportation legislation, there are more than 400 programs. And under transportation, there are about 110. And so ARC actually built a database. So I'm going to send you the link to that database so you can do a search. So I find that to be a great help, because even for that 110, it's very hard to navigate. So that we know what kind of funds will come our way. So there is the direct funds from FHWA or FTA and some formula funds, and also discretionary. So like, for example, for the FHWA, the direct under FHWA is 15, formula is 26 programs, and the discretionary is 69. So it's very, very hard to navigate. But they build this database because they have the resource. So that will help us greatly. So I'm going to send that link to all of you afterwards. So we will see, maybe we will, right now, maybe that some discretion funds are available, but we don't know anything about it. So that is just a one comment that I want to mention. I want to show you that. And I think I also told Kayla that I added in the notices. There's this EMPOS symposium. There's like Florida from Fort Lauderdale. That is, I think it's a very cool project. If you want to take a look at this, how they implemented is a complete street and road diet, and they actually did some painting. So that was pretty neat. I like that. And then also we got some information about one of the Chattanooga MPO, they did some equity analysis. Use it as because right now everybody's talking about equity, but how do you do the equity analysis, especially when you want to incorporate it into the regional planning? So they actually already did the case study and how that will be done. So I just attached some of those that I think that are interesting. So if you have any interest, you can just review that information over here. Just want to share those two.
Thank you. Wonderful. All right. Any other comments? All right. At this time, we are adjourned. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.